Welcome to the Gay Buddhist Forum, where teachers from all schools of Buddhism offer their perspectives on the Dharma and its application in modern times, especially for LGBTQI audiences. These talks are offered freely to the world and made possible by appreciative listeners. If you would like to support our efforts to share the Dharma with underserved audiences, please visit gaybuddhist.org. There you can donate, find a list of upcoming speakers, or enjoy many hundreds of these recorded talks dating back to 1996.
It's our tradition to go around the room and say our names before we hear from our speaker today. Tara, my name is Roy.
My name is Michael.
My name is Greg.
My name is Gary.
I'm Alzac.
I'm Kay.
My name is Prasada Chitta.
My name is Michael.
Don.
Richard.
I'm Tom.
I'm AJ.
My name is Clint.
Jeff.
My name is Tej.
I'm Jim.
I'm Jack.
I'm Brad.
My name is Fat.
My name is Jerry.
I'm Gary.
My name is Val.
My name is David.
I'm Grisha.
I'm Tim.
I'm Joe.
I'm Hal.
Peter.
My name is Brian.
Okay, I think that's everyone. So our speaker today is Eve Decker. Eve began practicing Vipassana meditation in 1991. She has been teaching Dharma since 2006. She has released two CDs of original Dharma-based music. She also has just released a brand new CD of mindfulness and loving kindness chants. She leads groups on Metta for Self and a monthly sit and sing Sangha in her hometown of Berkeley. She's a graduate of the Path of Engagement and Community Dharma Leader Training Programs at Spirit Rock Center in California. She also has a website, evedecker.com. Welcome, Eve.
Thank you, Marie. Thanks, everybody. So it's a total honor to be here, to be with like-minded people. I was thinking about little quote from the Buddha, who said that we all suffer, and there's basically two ways to respond to suffering. One is with bewilderment. We can spend many lifetimes in bewilderment, unfortunately. And the other way that we can respond to suffering is by seeking an end to suffering. And so just the very fact that we're all here means that we're all seekers, and that's really a blessing. That in itself is a blessing. I know from my own life and my own practice that states that cause suffering, like doubt, self-doubt, or doubt in the possibility of freedom, aversion, irritation, annoyance, hatred, fear, craving, confusion, these states, they are self-perpetuating, and they are really difficult to get any perspective on, let alone make a different choice about, let alone set a whole different habit pattern in place such that I am going into these suffering-inducing states. But what's so wonderful is that because we're seekers, we are finding that it is possible, not easy, but possible, to really make choices so that our suffering becomes less. Not only our own suffering, but the suffering of the people around us. And each moment that in which we are and interacting. Because to whatever extent we have found ways to respond to the moment with wisdom and kindness, we're tending to our own hearts and to everybody around us. And that's what the Buddha taught. You know, the Buddha, so I'm assuming that many, if not all of us, know the basic story of the Buddha's like childhood and what happened to him. He was a prince. He was in great indulgent wealth for that time. He saw suffering in the world outside of his castle. He went on a many years quest of trying to find freedom from suffering by torturing the body, which was one of the ways that people thought you might find freedom, sometimes still do. And then he had a memory. This is before he sat under the Bodhi tree. He had a memory. He remembered being a child, a prince, you know, in the castle grounds. And he was sitting under a cherry tree, feeling at ease, feeling comfortable, feeling loved and peaceful. And he had this piercing, you know, childlike clarity where there was no past and there was no future and there was just himself and the cherry blossoms. And it was a moment of complete freedom. It was some kind of place of kindness and clear attention. So he had that insight, and then shortly thereafter, he became awakened. And when he teaches awakening, he teaches a freedom, freedom from suffering. He teaches that there are two wings. We need that kindness. We need love. You know, that in itself is like sometimes missing. We need love and kindness in each moment. But love and kindness without clarity can get infused with delusion. So, you know, I'm going for love and kindness, which is looking for me like 6 hours on Facebook. It's infused with delusion because I don't have the clarity to see that sloth is a form of stepping away from the moment, which is aversion, which brings pain. We need love, but we also need wisdom. We need clarity. We need clear attention. In the Buddhist tradition, wisdom and insight are synonymous. And the way that we get insight is by inhabiting the only moment that really ever is, which is this moment. Forget, you know, don't forget intellectualizing. We need that. We need knowledge. We need study. And those are forms of moving towards insight as well. But forget getting lost in one's head and rumination. Mm-mm. We need clarity. So in that moment as a child underneath the cherry tree, he had clarity, he was fully present in the moment, and he had love, and he was free. And so the challenge that we have as seekers for freedom from suffering, which is what we all are, is to inhabit the moment and infuse it with love. The Buddha taught the Brahmaviharas, the divine abodes of the heart. There's four ways when we meet a moment to infuse it with love, depending on what's happening when we're here in this moment. Here we are, we drop in, feel the body, feel the butt on the chair or the cushion, and what's happening. If what's happening is kind of in the neutral land of okay, not like super amazing and not horrible, if it's just kind of regular neutral land, then we bring loving kindness to it. Kind attention, curiosity, awareness, loving kindness. If there's any suffering in the moment, which there quite often is, then we bring compassion. That's the second of these four forms of love. Love meeting suffering is a courageous act. If what we're meeting is wonderful, either wonderful in someone outside ourselves, their joy, baby being born, a home being purchased, we bring appreciative joy to that. Hooray, something good is happening. Or if the goodness is in our own life, appreciative joy looks like gratitude. Hooray, something good is happening. Appreciative joy and gratitude. And then the fourth Brahmavihara is taking all this love and holding it with that wisdom, that knowledge, that insight, that everything changes. the neutral changes, the difficult changes, the good things change. Equanimity is that, yeah, and we live in impermanence. So I'm abiding in calm as I observe this moment coming and going. These are all ways to meet the moment with love. In my own childhood, I had both that kind of thing that the Buddha had of sort of the present moment, clarity and love, and I also had suffering, as probably we all did. For me, the clarity and love came in the form of my mother singing me and my four siblings to sleep each night with lullabies. And the suffering was that I grew up in an alcoholic family, and as you know, probably that is a whole pantheon of experiences, difficult experiences for children. So I took those two things, that suffering that I came up into the world with, and that peace and freedom of hearing my mother sing to me at night, and I became a seeker young. And after trying on a lot of things, I landed with Buddhism. For me, music is a really wonderful way to practice the refuges of love and clarity. And so that's how I like to share Dharma. So what you have in front of you, these packets, are little song sheets. These are song sheets that I made for this class that I teach called Metta for Self, and I'll say more about that as we go along. Roy, I just want to check in about time. We go to a Q&A at what time?
We usually start... you want to do questions and answers? You can do it at any point you'd
okay.
like. You have to, I usually will stop at 10 till 12.
All right, thanks.
Sure.
Okay, great. So I use these songs in these classes that I teach about metta for self. There are different kinds of ways that we can be kind of stuck in that bewilderment of delusion. And one of the ways that's really epidemic in our culture is to be stuck in the bewilderment of delusion that we're not good enough. Now, not all of us have that. It's not like it's ubiquitous, but it's really common. In 2003, a bunch of Buddhist teachers, Western Buddhist teachers, were meeting with the Dalai Lama to talk about emotion. And Sharon Salzberg, a Vipassana teacher on the East Coast, brought up the issue of low self-esteem in Western culture. You may have heard this. The Dalai Lama was really confused by that. Had to spend quite a bit of time with his translator. And wonderful book called Healing Emotions by Daniel Goleman tells that whole story in detail. And it's actually quite an interesting book, the whole thing. But just one short description from that, after that moment he's describing. Daniel Goleman says, "The Dalai Lama is astounded to hear that many Westerners suffer from feelings of low self-esteem. There is no such concept of self-loathing or self-depreciation, or as the Dalai Lama puts it, a lack of compassion for oneself or self-directed contempt in Tibetan culture." Doesn't exist. Can you imagine? For us, it does exist. And we could have a very interesting discussion about why. But for now, just to say yes, it exists. And why, you know, and first of all, what's the source? We could analyze that, and I have, and we could talk about that, but I don't want to because I want to sing. But Kristen Neff, who has a whole body of work around self-compassion, has questioned and studied why we don't step out of that at some point, why we allow our minds to say unkind things to ourselves. And she says, the number one reason people give for why they aren't more compassionate to themselves is fear of laziness and self-indulgence. Spare the rod, spoil the child. And what she goes on to say, and other studies are showing, we're more motivated by confidence, and that actually self-recrimination cripples us, brings us down, stops us, slows us down. So that's a delusion. Aversion in all its forms is a delusion. And we can have, boundaries are part of compassion. We can have boundaries, and with clarity, we move forward in self-love, not with self-hatred. Self-hatred doesn't move us forward, it slows us down. So I teach about how to step out of that, and I use these songs to help. And the first, let's go to the second one, I've arrived. Yes, please. One of the ways to free ourselves from the tyranny of self-criticism is to use our mindfulness to drop into the present moment. Step away from the stories in the mind and feel into the body and the breath. Thich Nhat Hanh calls this, I have arrived, this teaching, to be the shortest Dharma talk he ever gave. If we could just remember more often that this moment now is the only place where we're ever alive. This moment now is the only place where we have agency to make choices about how we respond. Clarity and love are the wise choices. In this moment now, can we bring clarity? Can we bring kindness? So I'll sing, and then if you know, sing along, and as soon as you get a sense of it, please sing along. I have arrived, I am home in the I am solid. sometimes people ask me about the word solid in this teaching, because in Buddhism we learn about groundlessness and no self. And what do you think Thich Nhat Hanh meant when he said, "I am solid"? I don't know what he meant, but for me, when we drop into the present, feel our bodies, one of the things that's always with us, like the breath, is the body's relationship with Earth. I love so much that the Earth holds us to itself with gravity that comes right out of the heart of Earth. I know we can make that scientific and intellectual, but to me that's magic. We're made of the same elements of Earth. And with mindfulness, we can feel how we are always connected to Earth. So when Thich Nhat Hanh says, "I am solid," for myself and my practice, I take that to mean that with mindfulness, I can feel that I am grounded. It's just like a reminder. Of our interconnection, and to not be so afraid. Mm-hmm. And so with breath, another way we're always interconnected with our environment, being kept alive by this invisible air. I think the ice cream truck's here. There are these, you know, hindrances to practice, and they're not just, the five hindrances are not just hindrances to meditation practice, they're also hindrances in daily life to these wonderful qualities of freedom, kindness, and clarity. The five hindrances: craving, which is the mind's delusion that happiness will come from something that is impermanent; aversion, or hatred, fear, irritation; sloth and torpor, this way that the mind can sink in order to retreat from the present. And there's restlessness and worry. And then there's doubt. And each of these five hindrances have antidotes. So with cravings, or imagining that something outside of ourselves is going to bring us happiness, and then that energy of reaching forward increases our suffering, we lose our mindfulness and our kindness as we reach for this thing outside of ourselves. Craving can be antidoted with loving kindness. No, craving, I'm sorry, aversion is antidoted with loving kindness. Craving can be antidoted with remembering impermanence. Nothing outside ourselves will bring us lasting happiness. And then we can let go and come back to where do we find lasting happiness? We find it in cultivating peace. And the antidote to aversion is loving kindness. The antidote to sloth and torpor is, again, remembering impermanence, our own impermanence, and focusing on our deepest intentions. What do we wish for in this very short life? Move us out of sloth and torpor. With restlessness, the antidote and worry, concern, the antidote is to come back to the breath. It calms the mind to come back into the present and visit this friend, this relationship that we have with air, our body in the air, doing their thing. It's a wonderful practice. So this is another teaching from Thich Nhat Hanh, song number 3, breath. Thank you. Just to say, to finish that thought about the antidotes to the hindrances, the antidote to doubt, whether it's self-doubt or doubt in one's own journey or doubt in Buddhism or doubt, any kind of doubt, is investigation. And investigation can look like bringing curiosity into the present moment, or if it's doubt about something else, bringing study, asking questions, reading texts. That's the antidote to doubt. But so to restlessness and worry is this one of breath. When the mind goes off into ruminating thoughts, coming back to rise and fall of breath. In breath, out breath, deep breath, slow breath, calm breath, ease breath, smile breath, release breath, present moment, wonderful moment. In breath, one of the antidotes to all of these hindrances is coming back to our deepest intention. And intention is really super powerful. We hear about karma in Buddhism. There can be, again, lots of wonderful philosophical discussions about karma. One translation of the word karma is intention. Because this moment right now that we're in right now is the only moment that is, the rest is thought. This is the place right now where we create the karma for what is to come. This moment is also the result of the karma of what came before. So that idea of cause and effect, bringing us into the moment, having some acceptance of this moment, because it's what is everything brought us to this moment. It couldn't be other. Which, you know, what I'm saying right now is dogma. If you don't need to believe me at all, you just investigate it for yourself and see what you think. Yeah. But what can make sense, maybe make more sense, is this idea of intention, that here we are in this moment, and we can choose to plant the seeds or incline towards peace, kindness, well-being, patience, generosity, forgiveness, gratitude. Or we can have the habit patterns that we are all infused with of aversion, craving, distraction, delusion. This is the moment where we make that choice, and that choice is about intention. So it's interesting to think about karma and intention being synonymous. So I want to take us to the second page of your book out there, song number 10, Instrument of Peace. Gil Fronsdahl, one of my teachers who is down in Redwood City, has a really beautiful analogy description, I guess, about how intention can impact our lives. There's two parallel lines running off into infinity, and there the twain shall meet. But with some intention, we can nudge one line a tiny bit. You know, may I practice more patience? May I make sure I get my tush on the cush most days? May I work with my speech so that I'm more kind in my speech? A simple thing that in the short run looks like it's not making any difference, over time takes that line and changes its direction and can radically change our lives. So something that in a month or two looks like it's making no difference, 5 years from now our lives could be totally different because of this intention towards kindness and clarity. Very powerful. So this is a wonderful St. Francis excerpt from St. Francis, also around intention.
May I be happy.
singing with you, it makes me know that we're friends. I mean, I know that walking in too, but really when we sing together, I feel the connection. Thank you. How are we doing on time? We're doing good. I'm going to read you a really beautiful quote from the Buddha. This one is not on my wall yet, but I want to have it done in calligraphy and framed to put on my wall. This is the Buddha. It is this way that we must train ourselves, by liberation of the self through love. We will develop love, we will practice it, we will make it both a way and a basis. Take a stand upon it, store it up, and thoroughly set it going. So just imagine with me that we can have boundaries with love, we can have self-discipline with love, we can have communication with love, we can have self-talk with love, we can have the soles of our feet on the pavement of the sidewalk with love. That any time love is lacking, we're lost. And it's okay to be lost. We can hold ourselves in kindness when we're lost, but we can return to that North Star of love in everything we do, including loving ourselves and each other when we're lost. So we have this song, number 7, May We, is a musical version of the loving kindness phrase. May we be safe, may we be happy or peaceful, may we be healthy, may we live with ease. It's interesting because the Buddha introduced loving kindness to his monastic followers as an antidote to fear. There was a group of monks who were afraid to go meditate in a forest that they noticed was filled with scary tree spirits. And they didn't want to go in there. And so the Buddha said, just practice loving kindness, open your heart, and if you can't do it just by intending the heart to open, then say some words that will help you open the heart. And go in that forest. And they did, and the tree spirits loved it and mellowed out and supported the monk's practice. But you know, loving kindness phrases are not positive affirmations. They're not meant to be like say with may I be safe. They're not meant to, it's a strange thing to say, they're not meant to create all the circumstances external to us such that we're safe. Really what they're meant to do is simply to open the heart, to allow us to feel our love. They're giving some kind of structure so that we can feel our love. So when we say the phrases, it's taught to begin where we feel our love most easily. And for the Buddha and for some cultures, that's with ourselves. Not for me. For me, I had to struggle a long time before I could offer love to myself like that. For me, the place where it's easiest to open my heart as I say these phrases and really feel the love is for my dog. But ultimately, we want our hearts to be able to open and feel that love for our dog, for our loved ones, for ourselves, and for our difficult people. Can you imagine feeling that love for our difficult people? But the Buddha taught that it's possible. Sharon Salzberg has a really great story about She was in a rickshaw with a woman friend in India, and a big dude pulled her out of the rickshaw and was pulling her off through the crowd in a scary way. And she got away, but just by the skin of her teeth, and it was very frightening. And she got to her teacher and said, "All right, so I'm being taught to move through the world in love, and this very frightening thing happened. What would your advice have been to me?" And the teacher said, "With all the loving kindness in your heart that you could possibly invoke, hit the man over the head with your umbrella." And she's actually not only in that moment having loving kindness for herself, but for him too. For him too. It's terrible. Talk about planting seeds. Terrible for him to act out violence like that. So yeah, loving kindness, opening our hearts, but still having that clarity of wisdom about how to act appropriately and have discernment. May I be safe and protected from inner and outer harm. May I be truly happy and deeply peaceful. May I be healthy and strong and physically at ease. May I take
he co-founded the Zen Hospice Project, the first Buddhist hospice in America. In 2004, he created the Meta Institute to provide innovative educational programs and professional trainings that foster compassionate, mindfulness-based care. His groundbreaking work has been widely featured in the media and in numerous print publications. So he'll be here next week. The last time he was here was just amazing, a really wonderful speaker. So try and join us for that. And it brings me to Donna, which is the Pali word for generosity. We'll be passing a Donna bowl today. The suggested donation is anywhere between $7 and $10, but whatever you can give is always greatly appreciated. It does help to maintain our sangha, to pay the rent, newsletter to our speakers, the Larkin Street dinners, and to all the mailers that we do as well. So this, I'll have this sign over by the Donna bowl too, if you just want to see what the breakdown is, just to get an idea. And if we can hear from our host today.
Yeah, I'm the host today. Welcome everyone. There's a few things to eat out there, and some hot water for tea. Please make sure to wash your cup with warm soapy water when you're finished. And there's a sign-in sheet on the credenza. A few of us meet at 12:30 and head out for lunch. And I'll be passing around the Donna bowl.
So, thank you.
Thank you.
You say you're teaching a class?
Yeah, I teach in Berkeley mostly. I teach Metta for Self. My next iteration of that starts in January. And if you want to come over the bridge, on the third Thursday of each month in the evening, I do a sit and sing sangha, bigger songbook, collected songs, and half-hour meditation.
From what time to what time is that?
7 to 8:30, third Thursday of every month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any other announcements? Oh, okay.
Yes, there will be another Thanksgiving Day potluck on Thanksgiving Day at my place in East Bay. And if you're interested in attending, please pick up a copy of the flyer out there. And we would appreciate it if you could RSVP beforehand so that we can coordinate dishes. Thank you.
If you haven't been, it's really a wonderful celebration there.
Yes.
Anyone else? Okay, let's go ahead and stand for the dedication of merit.
You're welcome to keep them, but if you return them, I'll use them again. So I'll say thank you.
By the power and truth of this practice, may all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all be free from sorrow and the causes of sorrow. May all never be separated from the sacred happiness which is without sorrow. And may all live in equanimity, without too much attachment or too much aversion, believing in the equality of all that lives.
Thank you, gentlemen, for today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Gay Buddhist Forum. If you would like to hear several new talks per month and be notified of upcoming speakers so you can participate live, please subscribe to this podcast, like us on Facebook, and join our mailing list by visiting gaybuddhist.org.